te Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 2, entitled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, text number 7. Evam prajabhi dustabhi.
Evam prajabhi dustabhi.
Akinne ksitte mandale.
Akinne ksitte mandale.
Brahma vikshatra sudranam.
Brahma vikshatra sudranam.
Yobali bhavitanripa.
Yobali bhavitanripa.
Evam.
Evam.
In this way.
In this way.
Rajabhi.
Rajabhi.
With populace.
With
populace. Dustabhi.
Dustabhi.
Corrupted.
Corrupted.
Akhirne.
Akhirne.
Being crowded.
Being crowded.
Sittimandale, the earth globe. Brahma, among the Brahmans. Vish, Vaishyas. Kshatra, Kshatriyas. Sudranam, and Sudras. Yaha,
whoever.
Bari,
the strongest.
Bhavita,
he will become.
Nripaha,
the king.
Translation. As the earth thus becomes crowded with a corrupt population, whoever among any of the social classes shows himself to be the strongest will gain political power. No purport. Next, text number 8. Parajahi lupta rajanir. Nigrina dasyudarmabhi achinadara dravina yasyanti ginikananam. Losing their wives and properties to such avaricious and merciless rulers who will behave no better than ordinary thieves, the citizens will flee to the mountains and the forests. Text number 9. Sakamulani saksutra Pala puspasti bhujana anabhrischa vinansyati durbhikshakari pirita. Harassed by famine and excessive taxes, people will resort to eating leaves, roots, flesh, wild honey, fruits, flowers and seeds. Struck by drought, they will become completely ruined. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam authoritatively describes the future of our planet. Just as a leaf disconnected from a plant or tree dries up, withers and disintegrates, when human society is disconnected from the Supreme Lord, it withers up and disintegrates into violence and chaos. Despite our computers and rockets, if the Supreme Lord does not send rain, we shall all starve. Om Yatimanandasya Gandana Salakya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sigurve Namaha Sichaitanya Mano Vistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tarati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Raghunatam Sri Visakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu,
Dinamando jagatpate Gopesha gopi patanta Radhakanta samamastute Tapta kanchana gorangi Radhe vrindavaneshwari Vishvamshuti devi Pranami kripye Vanchakalpa kruvyecha Vipassanavyecha Paditam pavaneyo Vaisraeyo namam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says Balam Balavatam Chaham, which means that the strength of the strong is meant to protect the weak. But in the age of Kali, as it is described here, the opposite is taking place. The strong will exploit the weak. That, of course, is not new to the world. That is the history of the world already, for a long time. Call it colonialism. Call it whatever you may want. But those who were military, stronger, exploited others. Now call it geopolitics. So many people think that America is interested in the oil of the Middle East. That's not at all what's going on. It's called, experts say, it's called geopolitics. The strategy to make sure that although 80% of the resources of the world are in Eurasia, between Europe and Asia, that still America will do whatever it can to retain its position of supremacy in the world, called geopolitics. So it happens on a large scale, it happens on a small scale, exploitation. It happens in families, it happens in marriage, abusive relationships, where basically one person is exploiting the other and using strength. Whoever is the strong one will exploit the weak one. So that is the demoniac mentality. Aham bhogi ishvaro ham. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. Siddham, I am perfect. I am very powerful. Yes, this is the demoniac nature as described in the Bhagavad Gita. This demoniac nature is deeply rooted in the consciousness of the conditioned soul. It is not that we are exceptions to the rule, because Iccha Dvesa Samuttena Dvandumahina Bharata Sarvabhutami Samoham. All the living beings, Sarvabhutami Sammoham, are influenced by this illusory energy which causes desire and hate, Iccha and Dvesa, or lust and envy. These are the two reasons for this exploitive mentality. Devotional service is diametrically opposed to this mood, because devotional service is based on the principle of dasyam, or service attitude, the one thing that is in the very center of spiritual life is dasyam. Everything rests on dasyam. A devotee therefore must learn to become a servant. It's not automatic. It comes by practice. And therefore we must engage in activities of service, and that gradually will change our mentality from being the master and the enjoyer. This tendency to be master is very deeply rooted, and it may come out again also in devotional service. In Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur is describing Tarangaranjini. He's describing enjoying the side benefits that come from devotional service. As one is engaging in devotional service longer, one gains prestige immediately. Yes, of course. It is natural. And in this way, again, one begins to, instead of focusing on serving Krishna, again, we develop the mood of being the enjoyer. So this is very deeply rooted, a deeply rooted anarta, a stumbling block on the spiritual path which harasses us for a long time. And we have to be on guard by taking a humble position. Humility is a quality that is difficult to develop, but at least a Vaishnava can take a humble position by giving all respect to others, all credit to others, and by not taking any credit himself. So, if it's like, if we did some service and someone says, "Who did it?" It's not up to us to say, "Oh, I did it." Yeah. No, we should keep our own achievements private, not looking for glorification. Of course, when the Vaishnavas force us, then we, in a somewhat embarrassed state, will accept glorification. But it's not that this is something we are looking for, we're trying to avoid. So it's not easy, not easy at all. But that is our approach. Here it is described that gradually the society at large will become more and more difficult, and that there will be more and more taxation, and we're seeing that. E-tax, you know, and as you're driving around, it's incredible how much toll you pay. Incredible. Yeah? And everything has tax. You pay direct tax to the government and everything, indirect tax, VAT and this and that, and inconceivable how much tax is being paid. 80-90%, we're already working for the government, actually. It's a fact. Yeah? 80%, 90% of our work is already for the government, either in direct tax or indirect taxes, in all the things we buy and all the tax that's on there. That's the situation. That's the situation. And it will increase and increase and increase. And we see anabristi. Anabristi is being predicted. Sooner or later, there will be great droughts. That is what is being predicted. Droughts, anabristi, no rain. Once that happens, then everything will change. Because then nothing will grow. No vegetables will grow. So it will become difficult to eat. Then meat eating will become more and more the source for survival. So there's no doubt that this is destined to happen, because Bhagavatam is describing it, and we're already seeing so many elements of what is being described happening right now. So in this way we can appreciate that Srimad Bhagavatam is here describing the presence and the future. We have already been discussing this week, this Kali Yuga, but many of you were not here because you were caught up in the working, in the Ugra Karma activity of Kali Yuga. Ugra Karma, Srila Prabhupada described, horrible work meant to destroy the work, the devotee. We are working in Ugra Karma companies. that are ugra, aggressive, destructive to the benefit of the world. Just name a few multinationals if you want to, or some short, smaller firms, and they pay us, what can we do? And we just have to abide. They make us work ridiculous hours. They do not give you any chance to live. It is almost impossible to chant your rounds. It's suffering to chant in the midst of all that. And you have just been released on the Saturday morning to come to the temple, which is your good fortune. So it's not as bad yet. They still allow you the Saturday morning off, but we're working on that. We're working on it. For that, there are financial crises, and then everyone becomes afraid to lose their job, and then you have to do overtime without pay to keep your job. It's very common now. Since that economic crisis, many people are working overtime without pay, and they gladly do so to keep the job. So we can work again on Saturday, and nowadays the shops are open on Sundays because that's no longer the day of the Lord, so we can work that day as well. Why waste so much time? It's not good for the economy. Just wait a while and we'll fix that also. Anyway, so now that we still have the good fortune that on Saturdays we can assemble in larger numbers, we can discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one of the points that we discussed this week was, of course, the mention in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, which offers a 10,000 year golden age in this age of Kali. And that, of course, is our hope. We hope that it kicks in fast. It is said that it will start 5,000 years after the appearance of Lord Krishna. So, you know, okay, well, should start then, isn't it? So maybe it already started in a seed form, and maybe the seed is just sprouting, because everywhere devotional service is spreading, and we're seeing miraculous things. We're seeing now people from all over the world wearing tilak, right, and neck beads and chanting Hare Krishna. So something is definitely going on, no doubt. So we had some discussions, and my neighbor is interested in this topic, and he has come several times already to say, well, what do you think it will be like, this 10,000 years? We can expect that it will take some time to catch momentum. I think if we look at the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it is said that there will be Ekavarna Hari Bhakta, one class of men who will all be devotees of Hari. So that's interesting, because that means it goes beyond Varna Ashram. That it goes, that it's no longer just Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra, or a society of dovetailing material propensity. But Hari Bhakta means devotional service. Only one Varna. Everyone a devotee. Well, so what will the world be like if everyone is a devotee? Then you can speculate. Then we have a few more references. We don't have much, but we have two references in the Bhagavatam. In two purports, Srila Prabhupada says that the situation will change, and that it will no longer be like Kali Yuga. And he's saying that, in one purport he said, it will be like Treta Yuga. Well, in Treta Yuga, there is Varna Ashram. In Treta Yuga, there is some imperfection. Yeah? And in others, he says, it will be like such a yuga. So whatever may be, it's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam that the conditions on the heavenly planets is like Treta Yuga. So Treta Yuga must be pretty good. Yeah. So whether Treta Yuga or Satya Yuga, in Satya Yuga the grains start growing on their own. Everything, jewels, minerals, gold, it's just widely available without any trouble. Now in South Africa, where they have big gold and diamond mines, they are making shafts between 8 and 12 kilometers deep. Yeah, they just drill that deep and they mine 8 to 12 kilometers under the ground to get the gold. So there's gold, but it's a bit difficult to get to it. But in that time, everything will be easily available, very easily. So what will the mentality of the people be like? Well, I would expect that Lord Chaitanya's movement, after all, is what we're speaking about. And Lord Chaitanya's movement is a movement of spontaneity. It is not the movement of Vaidhi Bhakti. It is not the movement of devotional service according to rules and regulation. Of course, in Lord Chaitanya's movement, rules and regulations are part of the process, as Rupa Goswami outlines. But one is meant to go beyond that, to the spontaneous platform, and that is being recommended. It's certainly not glorified as this is the position where one is meant to stay. Therefore, we expect that that one class of men, Hari Bhakti, will be predominated by Raga Yoga Bhakti, by spontaneous devotional service, by natural attraction to Krishna. Therefore, we think if it would be a Vaidhi Bhakti way of spreading Krishna consciousness, then you'd expect a temple on the street corner and temple on the other corner, and some vijayalayas and some some places for study, for charity, and in other words a nice Vedic society. But that's not Lord Chaitanya's golden age, because that's not what Lord Chaitanya came to give. Lord Chaitanya is particularly coming to teach how to become influenced by spontaneous love. Namama vaninyaya Krishna prema padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya namni gori tusinamaha. It is about Krishna prema. Therefore, what I think is that what will happen is we will see people just totally absorbed. Today we have 12-hour kirtan, then there will just always be kirtan everywhere, in every house. The evil eye will disappear. TV. will disappear, and instead of that light of that television reflecting on the walls in every living room, there will be kirtan in the house at night. It used to be like that in Vrindavan. In the 70s, when I stayed in Vrindavan, there were no TVs, and everywhere you heard people, if you would walk around Vrindavan, you heard people having kirtan. You heard a family having kirtan at night in their house. And that's what we need. And we have to also get to that stage. But because we are part of an Ugra Karma world, we sleep at night in our Ugra Karma beds. They're Ugra because everything is artificial. Blankets made of polyester fiber and God knows what. Ugra stuff, actually. So we sleep in our Ugra Karma beds and wake up to an Ugra morning, and then we have our Ugra Karma breakfast. Yeah. And whatever's on the plate, it's all Ugra, you know, a bit of this, a bit of that, and then we get in our Ugra cars, and we go to our Ugra Karma job, and everything is just drive through Ugra Karma streets, in, you know, in Ugra Karma city, and then we come home, and we chant our rounds in front of the television, just to watch the news, Prabhu, just to stay up to date. And well, for the children, you know, some of the cartoons, you know, they, what can you do? They're only children. Yeah. And sometimes there's a good movie which is kind of educational. You watch also. And if it's not so interesting, that's a good opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. So, if you desire, I am always eager to come to a special program for your home, to your home, and we'll come with a kirtan party, and come into the house, and then we will all go towards the television, we will pick it up, take it upstairs, open the windows, and then under loud Hari Bols, do the rest. So if you wish to become liberated from the evil eye, then certainly at your service anytime. Just let us know. Always welcome to come. Because we need our time to chant Hare Krishna. That golden age that is meant to come, it will come through us. It's not that we are going to wait, oh, when will the golden age come? Oh, when will it come? Oh, when will it come? No, we are the golden age. Right? It's us. And how fast will it come? Depending on how fast we will make it happen. As simple as that. Right? On how fast we'll get into it. And then others will become influenced by us. And in that way, like a domino effect, it will just spread Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness spreads from person to person. When Lord Chaitanya gave Nityananda the instruction to go preach in Bengal, he told Nityananda to go door to door, to every house, go door to door, because Krishna consciousness is meant to spread from person to person. That's when it really spreads, you see. It's not like we want to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and just all at once, all over the world. It means to all the people of the world who are meant to change their ways, and therefore we are the ones that have to change our ways. Why is that golden age not happening yet? Because we are not happening yet. That's really why the golden age, why we don't see it. We are not happening. And we may happen to some effect, to some extent, we may be showing some Krishna consciousness, but we still show a lot of compromise with the Ugra Karma work style, or lifestyle. Prabhupada called the factories, the modern factories in Bhagavatam, the dungeons of the demons. So we're working in the dungeons of the demons, and we're living in Kali Yuga caves, Kali Yuga dwellings, and everything like that. If you want pure wool nowadays, not easy to get. Not even in Australia, which is supposed to be the land of sheep, right? Millions of sheep in Australia, more sheep than people. But, you know, to find real wool, you pay a fortune. You pay more than it. It's like everything is artificial. Kali Yuga. Everything artificial. Clothes artificial. Food artificial. Everything toxic. Toxic paint on the walls. Everything. magnetic fields, radiation.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you think if you don't have a phone that you don't have to worry about radiation, but everybody else has one. So they're all zapping us. Yeah? So you can't escape it. We're being zapped by 100 phones at the same time here. As soon as some, of course, have not turned off their phones, and we're just waiting for it to start to ring, as usual. And some people, they even have the foolishness of, when the phone rings, of running out of the Bhagavatam class. Instead of like turning off the phone, no, they get up and they go out of the Bhagavatam class. Now, I can appreciate it that if the wife is in the hospital and about to deliver a child, that, you know, that would be a reason to walk out, you know. But otherwise, I would say, you know, like, chuck your phone in the drink, you know. It's become pathological. Yeah? And if that phone makes you walk out of Bhagavatam class, then something is not working. And then there's a few wires that got crossed that are no longer working. Yeah? That got influenced by the age of Kali. Because Bhagavatam class, Bhagavatam must be given priority over everything. Whatever is going on now, it must stop. The universe must stop rotating. Yeah? There is nothing to do. Starve later. Yeah? I need to go, Go later.
But I really need to go.
Well, if it's that bad, go quickly. But if it's not that bad, then just wait. Just somehow or other, just wait. One should take it like that, in that spirit. Give it so much priority. Bhagavatam. Sanatan Goswami is describing that he has a prayer to Bhagavatam, and he's praying that, he said, Bhagavatam, my best friend, my source of deliverance, Bhagavatam, my eternal companion, right? May I never be separated from Bhagavatam. He says things like that. Yeah. This is the golden age. Here, in this room, it's the golden age right now. Just that you said that Lord Krishna in Dwarka had an amazing assembly house. And in that assembly house, the material influence was not there. No one would die as long as they were in that place. No one would get ill as long as they were in that place. And that was the place where Krishna was giving darshan. So we are in this, in such a transcendental place. Here in the temple, all the ingredients are there for the golden age. Now we just get absorbed. We have to just tune in, leave behind what we're bringing with us, because we're bringing Kali Yuga with us. We're carrying it with us everywhere. And that is our difficulty, the anattas that we carry. So Kali Yuga is deeply rooted within us. It's not the government. It's not the multinationals. It's not Bill Gates. Okay? It's not all these kind of things. It's not ruthless politicians who are the enemy. You have this this sign in the zoo, you know, to the dangerous animals, and then you go to the lions, the tigers, and crocodiles, and then it says a sign to the most dangerous animal. And there's a, you go around the corner and there's a mirror waiting for us. That's us, the most dangerous animal. We are our own worst enemy. We are the most influenced by Kali Yuga. That is the problem. It's not so much, oh, Kali Yuga is all around us, how bad is it, how bad is it? No, it's bad within us. If it wasn't so much within us, then how could we be affected by these outside things? Not so much. But we are thoroughly affected. Yeah. That's how it is. We're already totally... Well, I sometimes say, life is like riding on an elephant. And sometimes you're on top of the elephant, and other times the elephant is on top of you. Have you also noticed it? So, yes, mostly we are under the elephant. Mostly we're just under the weight of a wrong lifestyle. So therefore, in spiritual life, we have to put appropriate measures in place to change everything. Everything. Not just, I chant my 16 rounds. I'm doing. Doing everything. I'm chanting 16 rounds. Good for you. But not good enough. Not good enough. I'm following also the principles. Very good. But now every trace of Kali Yuga has to go out. 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 Little by little, let's push it out. Out of our life. And establish more and more the glorification of Krishna in every possible way, either in the form of worshipping the deity. Just see in the temple how much effort is put in nice deity worship. I mean, in Melbourne temple, there is so much running around for the deities everywhere. Wherever you look, you always see people running around with bowls, with trays, and you see people cleaning, you see there's a special cleaning team for years. They've been like hosing down the whole thing. Pros they are. And then there are professionals in looking after the deity paraphernalia. It's a whole thing. Everything. But then in the end, it shows. It shows. It really shows in a refined, high standard of deity worship. Where else? Outside of India, do you get three pujaris? I have not seen outside of India three pujaris in any temple. But here, still going on. Survived. That's something. Something. So, that's the spirit. The spirit is develop things, make it better, make it nicer. Then we will see the golden age very more and more manifesting, because this golden age will manifest through us. The world is going to go on. We see that those who are into degradation, they are going full steam ahead, and then the devotees go, excuse me, would you maybe be a little interested in some devotional literature?
No! Not interested!
Excuse me, sir. No! Okay, it's like, you know, you have to be a little more determined. Excuse me.
Huh?
Come here. What? Kamira said. Yes, sir. Here, take this. Huh? I don't really want it. Shut up. Take it. Cut no money. Okay, we'll go to the machine right now and get it out. Here, you gotta take charge. It's like that, you know? It's like we gotta push this mission. And we cannot just sit here and start knitting, you know. We all start knitting socks for the winter. Yeah. Devotional socks. Yeah. Very nice. But we need a little more. We need a bit of the spirit from, let's do something, yeah, to give people Krishna consciousness. When we're over 80, okay, we can knit some socks, right? That's fine. But you know, it's not the top priority to knit socks, I'm sorry to say. The top priority is to give people Krishna consciousness somehow or other. If we want this golden age to come, if we want this influence of Kali to go down. We're not just sitting here waiting, you know, digging ourselves in the temple, and they'll make the wall a little higher and put some security guards to keep them out. And we keep on chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Here, Heidi. I came from South Africa, going back to South Africa. Well, Australia is kind of a safe place compared to South Africa, where the walls are a lot higher and where there are electric fences on them. I have never touched one because I'm quite sure that it's not sure to survive it. And they have people live in security complexes with big walls around it, guards on the gates and security with like high electric fences. Then in the security complex, every house also has a wall with again electric fence on it. There is a sign on the wall that says armed response. There are constantly security patrol cars riding around the numbers. If you have riding around the neighborhood, if you have money, you can link up your house to an electronic alarm system which is in that car of the armed response. So, and people live like this. And in the age of Kali, we can expect that sooner or later we're going to dig ourselves in, right? And more and more. So this is not what devotees are supposed to do. Devotees are meant to go out. I think there is one devotee in our movement who is doing a significant service at the moment, and his name is Vaisheshika Prabhu, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who also is a spiritual master in America and accepts disciples, and who is having a program for weekend warriors. He is the founder of the idea of weekend warriors. And weekend warriors, yes, men and women, old and young, are all going out on the weekends and distributing some books. It is very well organized. And it's taken care of. Like, for example, when they take a new person. I was recently in England, he was there. They said, when they take a new person out on book distribution, they say, the first three times you cannot distribute books, you can only watch. He said, if somebody is a natural, they'll disobey that order and they'll start doing it. Yeah? But if somebody is afraid, then they'll do it. They'll watch for three times and they'll feel good. It's allowed. It's okay. So he makes it soft, friendly, supportive, but it's going on. This program is slowly catching on in California, where he works. It's catching on in England. It's catching on in South Africa. And it's definitely going to catch on in Melbourne. And I will do what I can to help that. That's my plan. Because otherwise, if we don't do something about Kali Yuga, you know, then we'll just sit here waiting for Kali Yuga to come into the door. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Gradually it grows over the walls. It grows through the windows. The mode of ignorance. That's how it is. It is the business of this movement to put out sabda, sabda brahman, transcendental sound vibration everywhere. And of course, you know, we don't want to pressurize. I'm proposing the gentle way. Like Vaisheshika was saying, he said, we used to think that in Saipatan, In book distribution, you had to climb over the wall, sneak in illegally, and then, you know, duck the security and distribute the books. And that was real Sankirtan. That was real Sankirtan. Right. So he said, nowadays, we just ask for permission, and most of the time we get it. So that's also a good point. It's like in my time in Europe, we used to do hospitals with books, and they just sent us into a hospital. No permission, nothing. We just walk into this hospital with books. Yeah? Imagine if you would do that during the visiting hour, when the ward is full of people, two devotees. One goes stand on a chair and gives a speech. Today we have a wonderful charity action and everyone can help out and da 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 da, one of those. And then the other one gives everyone a book. And then we ask for the donation. And then, well, you know, one person is a little generous. We walk up to say, this gentleman gave, you know, $50. Everyone, see what you can do, you know, for a good cause. And in a hospital, everyone is in a charitable mood. So they really give. And it's like, we would clean up. But then, suddenly, in the middle of it all, the nurse would walk in and say, what are you doing here? And then we would have to, like, be very relaxed and say, well, the charity action, you know, of course. And she goes, the charity action? Yeah, the charity action, you know. Today is the 17th, and, you know, and the whole thing is a charity action. And she goes, like, huh? What? Bewildered, still very suspicious, but bewildered at the same time. And then she goes, no, but, you know. And then she we say, you didn't see the letter? And they said, no. I said, on the other floor, they, you know. When she says, no, well, what letter? Which letter? Then we say, oh, on the other floor, they had it, you know. So just go check the office, you know. We'll just send her out. We'll say, yeah, just go check in the office. And meanwhile, you know, we quickly collect the last bit of cash and smile to all the people and say thank you so much, it's really appreciated. And then, you know, we come out, and of course sometimes the nurse is standing there, you know, and then we have to talk again with the nurse and this, that. Alright, if you're good at it, you can escape, right? Talk fast, talk to the nurse, and then we go one floor down and we do it again. I was almost a patient in this hospital. Just heart attack. It just got too much. Too much. Yeah? It was just absolutely total anxiety. So it doesn't have to be like that. Yeah? We had one devotee, he had escaped from the hospital and he was running and the police was chasing him. And he had a box of books and he ran into a side street, and the cops were right behind, and his big box of books, and just a dead end alley. So there was a door in a wall, a high wall. He opened the door, it opened. He went in. There was a long corridor and light at the end of the corridor. He walked with his box through the corridor, and as he came at the end of the corridor, he came straight on stage. And one man with the microphone said, "Ah, here is the man with the prizes." Big applause. And then the man himself took the books and gave everyone a book. And all the books gone. In the end, he said, "Okay, how much is it?" You know. Okay, devotee wrote a bill. That devotees know how to do. And got paid in cash. And you know what it was? It turned out to be a congress of butchers. It's a famous Sankirtan story from the Benelux. It's a true story. It really happened. So miracles did happen, but it was crazy. So nowadays, it doesn't need to be like that, but we do need
to do something.
We can get stalls in malls. We can rent a stall in the mall. Instead of something. We can do such things. We can, instead of having endless bhakti vrikshas, endless temples, where we all come together and for our own inspiration, if we spend all our energy on our own community, then we become an inbred society. All the energy goes to feed ourselves, literally. All the energy to feed ourselves. No, the energy must go out to others. That's what this movement is for. Just like a Rath Yatra. I'm so happy that Melbourne had a Rath Yatra. I'm so sorry I couldn't come. I was in Africa for a big function. But that's what we need. More. And sometimes big festivals are big work. Then in Finland they have a small temple, and this small temple, their expertise is mini festivals, and they do every month a mini festival. And they don't have many devotees, but they're doing it, and they go in different towns and they do a mini festival, and they have a permit. And they set up a few tents, nothing much, little stage, something that goes in the back of a van or a trailer, you know. And there's one lady doing some Bharatnatyam, you know, and all that, right? A little chanting Hare Krishna, short talk Bhagavad Gita, you know, and some prasadam. People love it. People love it. It got so big in Finland that the Christians got upset about it and started to also do it. But their plays, they had plays, but they're gloomy because it's always crucifixion and this and that. So, and then I was there one year and the Christians had set up shop across the street and they started before us. But as soon as we started, all their people crossed the street and came to us. We've got all the winning ingredients, for one thing. We've got Kurma's cookbook. So we can't lose. But if we are enterprising and alive in this way, and make it fun to drive out the influence of Kali Yuga, then the golden age will begin sooner and sooner and sooner. Prabhupada told the devotees, he said, we can take over the world in 18 days, isn't it, Gyanar? You used to hear that in every Bhagavatam class, or at least three times a week, they would say.
Prabhupada said that if we were pure devotees, that we could take over the world in 18 days.
They used to say that again. And so I think we can find ways to bring Krishna consciousness out, and the more we do that, the more we will feel that our own spiritual weakness disappears. The less we will feel my mind is not peaceful, I am trying so much, Swamiji, I'm chanting already for so long and I'm following everything, but my mind is so disturbed. Okay, this is the medicine. This is the medicine. Actually, learn to give. Give the mercy. By giving the mercy, that is the secret. That is the secret of rising above the mind, the battle with the mind. We will always battle with the mind, isn't it? In the sense, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Ooh, my mind. My mind, my mind, my mind. Oops, my mind, my mind.
My mind.
And here's a picture of me and my mind. It's just all the mind. But if we dedicate ourselves in giving to others, that's when we can become liberated from the mind. That would be nice. Any questions? Any comments? I've blown you out. Okay.
Why don't you just show in the lecture that we are bothered with our own materialistic desires and materialistic living standards and all. But we are born and brought up in this environment, and we are part of the environment for about 30 years or 35 years, more than 30 years. And all of a sudden we just gave the Krishna's mercy and the blessing of Vaishnava, we came to this call, we are a the devotees.
Yeah.
But being a person also, you have to bring to your family. So how to pull out all these things?
Yeah. Why only 30 years, maybe 30 lives or more, that we've already been living these kind of gross materialistic standards, or 300 lives, 3,000 or more? We can't say, but we know that it's deeply rooted in us. So therefore, it may take a little time before we sort of get above the old habits. But this process is very powerful, very, very powerful, devotional service. So if we just stick to devotional service and just apply ourselves to it and try to commit ourselves to it, then it will take over. Gradually it will drive out the material influences. There's nothing wrong in taking care of a family, but one must do it. But internally, one must be free from the influence of Kali. That's why we must read Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, because it is said, Krishna damo sopagate dharma gyanadibi saha. When Krishna left this planet, then dharma and jnana also left. Kalo nasta drisam esa. And in this age of Kali, all vision was lost. But purana ko dunoditaha. Through this Purana, through this Srimad Bhagavatam, again that vision can be restored. It is like the transcendental light of the sun. So, if we want to rise above, if the chant Hare Krishna, if the read Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course you say, but I have no taste for anything. That's the mind. Yeah? Then you just have to be a little firm with the mind and just say, my dear mind, I understand that you have no taste for the Bhagavatam and you don't really want to read it, and that's why I'm telling you to shut up. We have to be a little, have some self-discipline. And then we'll rise above this influence. Yeah. And then by some impurities will remain in the heart, and we engage in more service, we get purified and purified and purified. Let's see where it will take us. It's an adventure. Transcendental adventure, altogether. Let's see. You know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most pure of all? Yeah? That's our game. We're trying to become more and more pure. Anyone else? Yeah.
How do we feed desires, like we're all approach in a certain way, and obviously we should feel that desire. How do we
continue to feed that? Mm-hmm. Well, we must become the servant of Krishna. And Krishna has one desire. His desire is to deliver all the conditioned souls. And an enlightened devotee is one who has understood that and who has embraced that mission. And an unenlightened devotee is one who has not embraced that mission. Yeah. So the unenlightened devotee is trying, has knowledge of chanting Hare Krishna, has knowledge of of many things, but he's still unenlightened about this essential point, about what is Krishna's desire. And Krishna wants to deliver all the living beings. And as soon as the devotee takes up that one mission and makes that his meditation, then in whatever way he does it, you know, some do it by just dancing in the street and boom, 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 playing, doing Harinam. Others do it as 007, you know, sneaking in the back door. Some mercy here, some mercy there. In school, you know, have some nice cookies in your bag and just eat one in front of the other school kids. It's powerful preaching, eating prasadam cookies in front of materialists. You just eat it slowly so they can see it. And so you casually hold the bag in the other hand. I guarantee you, one kid will come and say, "Hey, can I have one?" Before you know it, the whole bag's gone. Prasadam distribution at school. And you just tell your mom, "Keep the supply going." And on the way, you'll have some cookies yourself. Because that's what cookie distribution is all about. One for them, one for me. Maybe a few more for them. See? But preaching can be done in so many ways like that. Yeah. Send your kids with cookies to school. That works. Okay, we're done. Thank you very much. See you again later in the day. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.